to get it, the retailers, and they said, well, we can just give you a box of Chex or a box of wines. Well, I can't afford it. They found out they could actually get it shipped out to the West cheaper than what they could produce it for in-house. So all of a sudden, these packers started losing all the customers. Packers continued to fight in the Southwest. So they started shutting down. They started going out of business. Labor costs were rising in those days sharply. You had land value soaring. A lot of them just shuttered and sold out to developers. What happened, though? That left feed yards, and that left a lot of other cow-calf producers without a traditional market. They were forced to shift. They were forced to change. Cattle started going away from the West. Southeast cattle started going to the Midwest instead of the West. They lost that marketplace. Okay, so what do you do? How do you adapt? How do you change? If this is in a time when nobody had thought of these things, the feeders started saying, okay, I've lost my marketplace, I better create a new one. They started forming alliances. Ralph's Beef had utilizing cattle postings that are only fed and raised in California, actually killed over in Sunland in Arizona, but brought back Harris Ranch Beef, an alliance situation. Cow-calf or genetics all the way into a retail store. Now, again, at a time when this was unheard of, they started doing this thing. Yards began using even more aftermath carrot tops. Whatever they could find is extremely, as you know, California, Arizona, a lot of vegetables, a lot of fruit growing. They had a lot of things to use from. They used even more. A lot of feed yards went out of business. We lost all our packing capacity. There's really only three main packers left in this country, in the Southwest. And that left, of course, a hole for the cow-calf guys. The other thing that we did is we started feeding Holsteins in the Southwest. You can see the growth in the Holstein business. It worked very good for Southern California and Arizona packers and feeders. You got great weather. You can keep those yards full for a year. These Holsteins are going at 275 pounds, and they'll be fed for a year. Kept the pens full. You have a kind of growing source. You started forming alliances. You started forming ways to marketplace, and you were back in business. Cow-calf producers had to change too. So what did they do? They had lost their marketplace. Their marketplace had shifted on them. So they said, okay, if my marketplace is in the Midwest or in the Plains, I'm going to go find those folks. They went in there and they started saying, hey, you know, come buy my cow. I'm going to work with him. I'm going to retain a few. We're going to find out if you like cattle. If you went to a convention here, and you still can, California Cattlemen's Convention, Northwest Cattle Convention, you always had feed yards sitting there at those conventions with booths. I talked to Jim Miles yesterday, and he reminded me Monson used to come down, Monson Feed Yard. He set that booth and give away Washington apples. You know, they just did a lot of different things. A lot of folks say, okay, we're going to form that relationship with feedlots. We're going to market cattle all the way through. And then we do that for a couple of years. These feedlots will come out and buy cattle from us. And it worked well. Some buy ranches in the mountain west. They started staging cattle. They grow calves. Summer grazing in the mountains, and they finish them in the plains. A lot of different things. The Californians began to look a different way in the northwest, folks, too. The rise of the video. Supreme, Western, Ellington, Andy Peak. Looking for a way to market their cattle. That's a way to introduce their cattle to a whole universe out there, and they took advantage of it. Northwest, this region has been historically real balanced. Cow-calf packing capacity, cow-calf feedlot packing capacity, all been in balance. Now, we recently have lost markets up there, especially because of the ban from imports from BSC. We've lost some packers in the Northwest. So more and more of these cattle are being forced east. They're having to add those costs of putting their freight on cattle and taking them to feed and be processed in the east. So it's been difficult. Turmoil in the Canadian feeding and packing business continues. A lot of these cattle will continue coming south, but instead of going into the northwest, a lot of those cattle will probably be funneled more into the plains. How do we adapt up there? Feed yards, they can be potato waste. They can be competitive in real high time to high corn. They have another feed source that they can rely on. That's how they have adapted over time. They made use of something that's around. They have closer proximity to the Pacific Rim. They have programs in place that they can start to import and, to export into the Pacific Rim. Whatever it takes, anything from growing wagyu cattle to coming with IV systems, they're ready to export. They see that marketplace, they want to grasp it. They price cattle up on the fed side off the plains prices, so they aren't relying on more than one packer bidding them. They come to agreement with those packers, that's how we're going to do it. Feeders and packers can utilize Canadian cattle supplies to keep the constant supply of both feedlots and packing capacity year-round. A lot of people say, hey, this isn't good, Canadian cattle aren't good, but most people tell you in the feedlot and the packing capacity, we'd like to have a few out there to keep our guys in business. What are those folks doing now? What I see, and I still talk to a lot of yards, a lot of cow-calf producers out there, what do I see them doing? Right now, ID is a big out here. They want to ID, they want to know the cattle, they want to know the genetics, they want to know the backgrounds, because they want the export market, they're willing to go out and they're willing to fight for it. It's big. They're still continuing to look and grasp for alliances. What can we do different? What can we do more of? They're always looking for a different market. Natural, whatever it takes, they're willing to look for that. They really embrace technology. Whatever it takes, technology-wise, they're willing to do. Risk management is big. If you're feeding cattle for a year in one pen, you'd better manage your risk. Because in the changing world, you put cattle on a year ago, a lot of things change in that period of time. So they use risk management. Randy, ready to take us home?
I think as we look at a number of these things that Dwayne has just taken away, talking and shared with us relative to the West and the transitions we've gone through there. As we look at all these areas of the country, I think we can learn a lot from the West. Obviously, when we think about how much feed costs have increased all across this country, we have to look at alternative feed sources. I know a number of you as cow-calf and stocker operators are using some of these distillers' grains that are out here. We may be using a lower quality roughage source. A number of you have implemented starting feeding more straw and adding some sort of a protein source to that to keep our costs down. Those are some of the things I think we have to do, because in the short term, over the next 2 or 3 years, I think we all have to come to grips with, we are going to be faced with high feed costs, whether it's hay, whether it's grains, whatever the case may be. We think about some of these regional cost differences. We shared with you earlier when Mike went through his presentation, we showed the $6 and $7 100 discounts because of the freight difference from the West to the Central Plains. $11 or $12 100 now in the Southeast compared to the Central Plains. Remember, this market dip tends to, over a long period of time, it'll migrate back towards those averages, won't it? It'll migrate back to where we become a zero-sum game. So that means if we're in one of these areas, we have to do something different. We can't continue to do business the way we've been doing it. If we're cow-calf producers, what's the message in here today if we're cow-calf producers? Selling calves off the cow probably is not going to be very favorable to us over the next 2 or 3 years. We've got to figure out a way to add weight. The price spreads between calves and yearlings is going to narrow. We've got to add weight. The market is telling us we want bigger cattle, isn't it? It wants bigger feeder cattle. And taking advantage of our grazing resources, our lower cost feed resources, in order to do that, that's something we've got to do. The days of being able to sell a calf off the cow, doing that kind of thing, I don't think we're going to like the arithmetic on that over the course of the next 2 or 3 years. You've seen this stair steps of profitability or points of differentiation. If you go down through here and you start adding these things up, it's real money. Now, I know a number of you in the room are already taking advantage of these, but some of you aren't. Feedlot carcass data. Knowing how these cattle are going to perform in the feed yard, we're willing to pay for that. We have been for a number of years. Preconditioned, weaned, healthy calves. Has the market been paying for it? $5 to $8 a hundred the last 3 years. What is the single biggest challenge for a feed yard in the United States today? Labor. Labor. They don't want a bunch of balling calves coming into their yards. They can't manage them. They can't manage them. That's why we'll continue to pay for that in our overall system. Source and age verified cattle. We've had this discussion in this industry for the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years. Maybe it's been a decade now. Let's get with it. The market is paying us $25 a head on average for source verified cattle. Some of these programs are paying as much as $35 and $40 a head. $35 and $40 a head if they're source verified and they're eligible to go to Japan. 21 months and less. All it takes is a little bit of record keeping. A little bit of record keeping. It's free money. It's free money nearly if we're able to go out here and take advantage of some of those things. And when we have these kind of cost pressures, I think that's something we have to do. How can we add some more things on the positive side of the ledger? We see all these things growing on the negative side of the ledger. Let's balance this thing out. And I think if we take advantage of some of these programs, some of you are looking at natural programs, organic, whatever, differentiating the product is going to continue to be key. Remember, week in and week out, there's a $25 to $30 a hundred variation in what calves will bring in any state in the United States. Every week, there's that kind of price differentiation taking place. You decide. You decide if you want to keep doing business the way you've been doing it, or if you want to take advantage of some of these things. And these are happening today. They're out there today. We've talked about preconditioned calves. How about some of those price spreads? This is price spreads going back here over the last 4 or 5 years. A prime choice spread, $27. A CAB to choice spread, of $12. That's not a head, that's a hundred. These are real. Genetics make the difference, don't they? Yeah, we can feed cattle, but genetics is really what makes the difference here. Making the right genetic decisions. Some of these are freebies. Some of them are freebies. Genetics don't cost very much in this business today. When you look at the difference in genetics, they really don't cost that much. We need to focus more on what animals are going to get us the kind of offspring calves that we need to be able to capture some of these added values. $50 to $100 a head in today's market in added premiums on some of these programs, it's pretty consistent. It's pretty darn consistent week in and week out. We look at the added value of these premium grades, the higher quality grades in our industry. $500 to $600 million a year. $500 to $600 million a year is where we would put the worth of all those added values over and above our average mix of cattle in our industry. Again, that doesn't fit for everybody. It doesn't fit for everybody. And I'm not suggesting it does. Some of your regions of the country just don't play to this part of the game. But I want us all to understand this commodity market that we all cut our teeth on is changed. There is tremendous value differences out here. There's ways to differentiate this where we can capture more dollars. I think we have more opportunities today than any time in the history of our industry. Think about if we'd had these costs escalating 10 or 15 years ago and none of these value-added programs out here. Now, that would be a train wreck. That would be a train wreck. But today, because we have so many decisions that we can make to differentiate our offspring calves that we're producing or the feeder cattle or the feeding programs that we're feeding to our fed cattle, it gives us a chance. It gives us a chance to come back in here and really be able to right the ship. So I think when we think about some of those things, yeah, we can all get down and say, yeah, these costs are out of line, they're crazy. It's here. What we need to do is focus on what we can change. Focus on the things that we can impact and change, and these are just some of those things that we can do. Dwayne did a great job of walking us through these structural changes. 78,000 cow-calf operators control 55% of the cows. He said there was 800,000 of them out here. 75,000 of them control 55% of the cows. That's not very many, is it? When we look at the feed yards, 261 feed yards are the top 26 feeding companies are feeding half the cattle today. What do you think that'll look like here in the next 2 years? Is it going to grow? Is that concentration going to grow? Absolutely. We are going to see more concentration at the feeding and packing level over the course of the next couple of years. We've seen tremendous retail consolidation, not just domestically, but globally. Walmart's big in other parts of the world too, aren't they? And Costco's, and we go on and on and on, Ahold, that group, all of those are major players in the world market. So I think as we look at this, we need to anticipate with a vision, fewer players, fewer decision makers as we move down the road. Globalization is here. It is here. We are in a global market. We are going to continue to operate in a global market. What's our niche? What's our niche in that global market? Producing high-quality fed beef, isn't it? We will not compete with the Australians, the New Zealanders, the Argentinians, or the Brazilians in the grass-fed beef business. That's not our niche. But our niche is producing high-quality fed beef for a domestic market and for the world markets as those opportunities continue to grow. We are going to see more concentration. Absolutely no doubt about it. More branding, more differentiation. I would just say to you, figure out where you fit there. Figure out where you fit. We're not going to turn around and go back to just being a commodity business. This branding, product differentiation is going to continue to accelerate. In this high grain world that we're living in today, are the spreads going to widen or are they going to narrow? Which way? They're going to widen, aren't they? The spreads are going to widen in this high grain world that we're going to operate in here over the course of the next several years. The management strategies, yeah, we've talked about it. We don't have an inventory cycle anymore. But we still have some production cycles. We've got production differentiation. We still have some price cycle in here. Prices are likely on fed cattle to move higher over the next several years with this high cost of grain. They have to. They have to. Just keep in mind, can they move high enough to offset to carry the calf and feeder market along with it? Think about what happened this last year. I want you all to think about it. Grain prices took off in the fall of 2006. The fed cattle market was 85 bucks a head higher on average in 2007 than it was in 2006. The cost to put on 550 pounds of gain increased about 125 bucks a head on average across the United States. The fed market went up 80 bucks a head. The calf market was 35 bucks a head lower than it was the year prior. Is that a pretty efficient market? Add 85 and add 35 and you're about right there at 120 bucks a head. What would have happened to our calf market had we not been able to advance fed cattle prices the way we did? That 85 bucks a head would have come right off the value of these calves and feeder cattle. So I think when we look longer term, We need to look at this market. We need to look at the environment totally differently than we have in the past. What seems high may not be high in the future. It may not be high. We hope you all have a great convention. We appreciate you being with us this morning. Let's thank Pfizer again for making today possible.